Devi Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavan dham ki jai, Mathura dham ki jai, Navadvip Mayapur dham ki jai, Jagannath Puri dham ki jai, Rangamaya Jamuna Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vandale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Jayamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachami Namaste Sisindhani Vaskachandi Sachami Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Tam Pahamam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sacham Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Anchikalpa Shri Vishakhi Pasindhya Vitamsha Chanam Pavanayu Vaishvajana Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
So it is October 19, 2020 in Hillsboro, North Carolina. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20, Text 48, and Lighting the Bhagavata, Text 45. Puragrameshvagad Puragrameshvagayanair Indriyascha Mahotsavai Tadau Bhupaksha Sasyadhyā Kalabhyam Nitaram Hare Krishna Pura.
Pura.
In the towns,
Rameshu,
and villages,
Agrayanai,
with performances of the Vedic sacrifice for tasting the first grains of the new harvest.
Performance of the Vedic sacrifice for tasting the first grains of the new harvest.
Indriyai. With otherworldly celebrations.
Otherworldly celebrations.
Cha. And. Maha Utsavai.
Maha Utsavai.
Great celebrations.
Great celebrations.
Cha. And. Maha Utsavai.
Maha Utsavai.
Great celebrations.
Great celebrations.
Babo.
Babo.
Shom. Bhu. The earth,
Pakva,
ripe, Sasya, with her grains, Adya, rich, Kala, she who is the expansion of the Lord, Abhyam, with those two,
Krishna and Balaram.
By the way, Sanatana Goswami says it could also be understood as Nanda and Yasoda. Nitaram, very much, Hare.
Hare,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Translation in the UBT edition. In all the towns and villages, people held great festivals, performing the Vedic fire sacrifice for honoring and tasting the first rains of the new harvest, along with similar celebrations that followed local custom and tradition. Thus the earth, rich with newly grown grain, and especially beautified by the presence of Krishna and Balaram, shone beautifully as an expansion of the Supreme Lord. BBT purport. The word Agrayanai refers to a particular authorized Vedic sacrifice, and the word Indriyai refers to folk ceremonies that have somewhat worldly objectives. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows. During autumn, the fields become filled with ripened grains. At that time, the people become happy over the harvest and observe various ceremonies, such as Navana, the offering of new grains to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The new grains are first offered to the deities in various temples, and all are invited to take sweet rice made of these new grains. There are other religious ceremonies and methods of worship, particularly in Bengal, where the greatest of all ceremonies is held, called Durga Puja, which, by the way, is Thursday. Okay, let's go to Light of the Bhagavata, text 45. As Srila Prabhupada's translation of this verse, after the new grains were cut and brought home from the paddy fields, the people began to observe the Navana ceremony everywhere in the presence of the Lord as Sri Krishna and Baladev. So in Prabhupada's translation here, he's not talking about the earth being resplendent. It's like he's... Sometimes we find Srila Prabhupada adding things to the translation, like pulling purports into the translation. In this case, he's just like translating part of the verse. Prabhupada's commentary in light of the Bhagavata. According to Vedic culture, learned men consider all natural products, such as food grains, fruits, flowers, and milk, to be God-sent. No one can manufacture these things in man-made factories, however scientifically advanced people may be. People can make preparations of such God-sent foodstuffs, but they cannot manufacture the natural ingredients. Spiritually cultured men, therefore, feel obliged to the Lord when they get sufficient natural foodstuffs by the grace of the Lord. So what's Prabhupada's first point here in this commentary? You can't make food. And so, if you're high class, if you're cultured,
you sacrifice.
You feel obliged to the grace of the Lord. The Nirvana Prasada ceremony is observed as a way of acknowledging the gifts of God. So in other words, it's not just some feeling that you do a ceremony. Newly collected grains would first be offered to the Lord by the villagers, either individually or collectively, and in either case, all the members of the village would partake of the prasadam thus offered to the Lord. Such ceremonies make the people happy and prosperous. So does this exist in practically every culture of the world?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Is it?
What's it called here in the United States?
Thanksgiving.
So practically everywhere you go, there's some kind of ceremony for thanking God for food. And if it's a place that has a specific harvest season, which not every place does exactly, then there'll usually be some big ceremony at that time. But there can be various ceremonies throughout the year, depending on the climate and when food is collected, that God is thanked, and that people have a celebration. And then also, of course, religious people thank God before they eat every meal. Isn't that a fact? Yes, I'm sure that many of us grew up in homes where there was some sort of thankfulness given to God at every meal. And of course, we do both. We both offer the food to the Lord, as Prabhupada's saying here. And then before we eat, we also thank Him for the prasad. Isn't that fact? And I grew up in a Jewish home, and at least on the Sabbath, we would make an offering of the food to God. So every meal, we said, had some thankfulness, and then we also had some ceremony which must have originally been an offering of food and taking of prasadam. Although after the Ramban made Judaism impersonal and took away all the personal conceptions, people didn't understand that so much. So they would just like take the bread and they would bring out a loaf of bread on a special tray covered with a beautiful like embroidered cloth, and then we didn't have a deity. We weren't allowed to have deities except for the scrolls, which were like a deity. So the five books of the Bible, they were put on this beautiful scroll on these silver poles and covered with velvet cloth that was embroidered with jari and in a special altar, and everybody would stand up to receive the book, who worshiped the book. But anyway, we'd offer the bread up to this nameless, formless God. When we put it up in the air and take off the cloth, and make an offering, and then we'd pass around the sanctified bread, and everybody would take a little bit of the bread as prasada, and we'd do that with spices. Of course, I also did that with wine. But this was the concept that we were making an offering, that we were, you know, every day we were thanking God, acknowledging, and then sometimes we actually made an offering to the Lord. So this is prevalent in every religion in some form, and in every culture. Even in among simple, very simple cultures, we find some kind of celebration, some kind of acknowledgement. And the Nirvana Prasana ceremony is observed as a way of acknowledging the gifts of God. Newly collected grains would first be offered to the Lord by the villagers, either individually or collectively, and in either case, all the members of the village were to take of the prasad, thus offered to the Lord. Such ceremonies make the people happy and prosperous. So we are interested also in having material prosperity as a side effect of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes devotees get really happy when there's catastrophes in the world and say, wow, this will be good for Krishna consciousness. So anything can be good for Krishna consciousness. But the concept in the Shastra is that a Krishna conscious society is also materially prosperous. A Krishna conscious society is not a society full of polluted air and water and plastic food and plastic jewelry. That's not what a Krishna conscious society looks like, you know, where nobody can get along with each other and people are lucky if they stay married for a couple of years. And, you know, that kind of situation is the result of a godless society, not a God conscious society. We should always acknowledge the mercy of God. So we have special ceremonies for acknowledging the mercy of God, but it should be something that we're always acknowledging. I remember my mother's rabbi used to say that all day long we should be saying thank you, 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 thank you. We should not think that we can produce ample food grains merely with the help of tractors and fertilizers. These can help us only as instruments for such production. Without the sanction of the Lord, there is no possibility of having grains, even if there are trucks and fertilizers. So within the last year, I read a book called The Alchemy of Air, about how artificial fertilizers were first developed in Germany and then weaponized by the Nazis. And how the creation of artificial fertilizers, which is made from air, by the way, because what's the main component of fertilizer? Yes, and what's the main gas in the air? Nitrogen, right? And that comes to the earth naturally when there is?
Lightning.
Another teacher. Yeah, so lightning naturally pulls the nitrogen out of the air into the soil, but the scientists devised a plan that took them a long time and a lot of mistakes, and then everything was made into a military industrial complex, which actually destroyed the mentality of these Brahmin scientists who had worked on it. It was a very, very interesting study in Varnashram. If you try to force Brahmins to be Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, what it does to them personally. But the effect on the environment was huge. Pulling all this excess nitrogen into the soil, then put excess nitrogen into the waterways, and it just messed up the whole delicate balance of the earth. And yes, it produced what was called a green revolution. I remember as a child my parents telling me how wonderful science and technology was because of artificial fertilizers and because of tractors. Now we could feed the world. But the cost was humongous. And we could have fed the world much better with cow dung. There's an old article in Back to Godhead that what would you rather, unlimited gold or unlimited cow dung? And I really suggest you check it out. About that, if you had natural fertilizers, the world would be a prosperous place. When Lord Krishna and Balaram were present, the good men of Vrindavan realized that it was due to their presence of the Lord that their supply of food grains was sufficient. Some of the people of Vrindavana, including Lord Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, used to perform sacrifices to propitiate King
Indra,
the king of heaven, because he is the controller of rains. Without good rains, grains cannot be produced, and therefore the people would offer sacrifices to Indra. Lord Shri Krishna, however, stopped this age-old ceremony and advised his father to offer the same sacrifice to the Supreme Lord. His purpose was to teach that we need not satisfy various demigods in charge of the various departments of cosmic affairs. Instead, we must offer sacrifices to the Supreme Lord. For the Lord is the master, and all others are his servants. They call it Ishwara Krishna. As Krishna Das Kaviraj says. The famous Anakuta ceremony, performed in Vrindavan especially, and also in all other parts of India, was thus introduced by the Lord. And people still follow this path by worshipping
Govardhan Hill,
where the Lord used to take pleasure in tending cows. People also worship Giri Govardhan as identical with the Lord because there is no difference between God and his paraphernalia and pastime. So what a wonderful verse that I got to speak on today. I was just so... it's upset if I use the word excited. I was enlightened. If I use the word excited, rather. No, you weren't excited. You were enlightened. Okay, I was enlightened. So I was really enlightened by reading this purport by Srila Prabhupada to give me the opportunity to talk about Govardhan. So only God can produce food. I talked about this the other day. The scientists haven't even made a grain of rice. They can't do it. They can make something that sort of looks like food, that sort of tastes like food. I read an article many years ago about food scientists. If you really want to get depressed, read about food scientists. And they figure out, because biologically, we're inclined to eat food that has a certain mixture of sugar, salt, and fat. And we're also inclined to eat food that's fresh. So we're inclined to eat food that has a certain crunch, a certain texture. Now, we're biologically wired to prefer certain types of foods that are healthy. We're also biologically wired to like a variety of food, by the way. I don't know if you've noticed, you can eat a larger quantity if there's several different preps than you can if there's just one prep, even if it's a prep you really like. So we have a certain satiation meter that comes when we eat just one variety of food. So the food scientists study this. Why? To manipulate us to eat artificially prepared food. Okay, if we can get this kind of crunch, if we can get this... And the article was talking, I think, about Pringles, which aren't really potato chips. It's not like somebody went and got potatoes and cut them up and fried them. It's a mixture of different stuff that they make look like a potato chip, and it has exactly the right kind of crunch and exactly the right mixture of salt and sugar and fat that stimulates our, you know, primitive brain to say, ah, nutrition. And, you know, they make this food so people buy this artificial food and can't stop eating it. Right? It's triggering something in the brain that we're thinking, oh, this is healthy for me. And they're fooling us. Like in Las Vegas, you know, they leave the lights on all night and they put certain scents in the air so people get fooled and think it's daytime and they keep gambling far into the night. You know, so they manipulate our senses like that. And meanwhile, yes?
Their little slogan or whatever was, once you pop, the fun don't stop.
Once you pop, the fun don't stop.
That's what it was, right?
They have different slogans like that. Bet you can't eat just one, I think was one.
Yeah.
Slogan of one of these artificial food things, right? When my youngest son was running a prasadam business, I remember one time somebody suggested that they employ a food scientist. He said, we don't touch the food scientists. We're not having anything to do with it. You know, so they're creating, and this food is making people sick. Instead of making people healthy, it's making people sick. The way it's produced is making the earth sick, it's making the water sick, it's making the air sick, it's making the fish and everything. It's making everything sick, it's making the people sick, and it's making people sick physiologically, psychologically. I have a good friend who's married to the town president in Denver, and at first she thought that she couldn't eat wheat. She thought she had a wheat allergy. And she found out she wasn't allergic to wheat. She was allergic to the manipulated hybrid wheats. And if she ate the original heritage wheat, she was fine. She was nourished. I mean, there's very interesting things going on here. So they can't manufacture food. The example that I like to give is they can't even change one kind of milk into another kind of milk. You know? Somebody would become a multi-billionaire, richer than Bezos, if they could change cow's milk into human milk. And the brains, the two hemispheres of the brains of thousands and thousands of scientists cannot compete with the two breasts of a woman. They can't change one kind of milk into another kind of milk. They can't do it. Prabhupada said it's a mystic potency that a cow can eat grass and produce milk, that a woman can produce milk for a child. This is a mystic potency. The scientists can't imitate it. If they could, they'd be very, very rich. So they're highly motivated, but they can't do it. These are gifts from God. You know, it's funny, a lot of times people ask me, what are my favorite foods? My favorite foods are actually fresh fruit right off of a tree, locally grown. Like in Hawaii, you get the sitapal, all different varieties of sitapal. And I used to call it, you know, God's custard, God's pudding. There's just, you know, or you get mangosteen. Oh my God, Krishna. I first had mangosteen in Bali. It was at this big Hindu, world Hindu gathering. And every table had a bowl full of mangosteen. I didn't know what they were. I didn't know they were like the most expensive food on the planet and that, you know, Queen Elizabeth had once, some queen had offered some big bounty for someone who could bring a fresh mangosteen and you can't get them out of the tree. I didn't know that. I just, oh, there's a fruit, you know. And I ate the whole bowl. Hare Krishna. I had no idea that I was eating like, you know, $60 worth of fruit. But, you know, you have this fresh fruit grown on the trees, and there's nothing that can compete with it. The fresh mango, you know, and there's, I think, thousands of varieties of mango, so many kinds of all these. There's nothing you can cook in the kitchen that is equal to what Krishna can make growing on the trees. It's just, right? I stayed once with some devotees in Slovenia who were ate only raw food, and basically that they just grew themselves. And again, there was just no comparison. So only God can make food. We're not capable of making food. Therefore, we should have some gratitude. We should have some gratitude. I mean, there's so many studies that grateful people are happier and healthier, even physiologically. You know, you can cure chronic diseases just by being grateful. Actually, you can do that. Seriously. There are people who've been sick for 20, 30, 40 years with various things, and they just start practicing gratitude, and their disease goes away or it diminishes. Prabhupada's talking here that people who are intelligent and cultured, they're grateful that God has produced food. And we were talking the other day, how has He produced food? It's a transformation of sunlight. That's incredible! The plants are eating sunlight and turning it into an apple. How does it do that? Sunlight and water and some minerals from the earth. And then we eat the apple and we turn it into fingernails. That's unbelievable. Who can do that? People say there's no God. I mean, insanity. Right? The greatest human minds cannot do something like that. So we should be grateful. And we should be grateful not just, yes, I'm grateful, God, you're doing something for me, but if I'm really grateful, I do something for Him. Isn't it? If I'm actually grateful, I'm not just saying, thank you, 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 thank you. I do something. I say, my dear Lord, would you like to have some of this food? I got the apple off the tree that you made from the sunshine. You turned sunshine into an apple. So many different kinds of apples. So many different textures and tastes. Here, would you like some? Eh? Pratyam pushpam pulam twayam yome bhakti prajati taraham bhakti paritam ashram yipraitatma. And Krishna is so kind. He says, yes, thank you very much. It is His apple, it's His sunlight. You know? And He's our ability, and He's our intelligence. He's the seed. He's the taste of the water. He's the fragrance of the earth. And we put that all put together into the apple, and we take it and we give it to Him, and He says, oh, thank you. Thank you. He says to us, thank you. Isn't that amazing? Oh, thank you, my dear. Krishna becomes, therefore, controlled by the love of His devotee. So much so that Vidura was so absorbed in giving the Lord food that he gave him the wrong thing. Right? Like, you know, when you're preparing something in the kitchen, you have a little bowl where you put the peels. Right? Imagine if Golokananda walks into the kitchen. Hey, you guys are late with the offering. Where is it? And you get so flustered, you just hand him the bowl of peels. Instead of the offering of fruit, and then imagine if he was eating it. The look in the kitchen being appealed. Ah, thank you, my dear. And then we also should have, in addition to offering food to the Lord every day with gratitude, so having an attitude, as they say, of gratitude, I didn't make that up, and then offering food to the Lord, also we have big ceremonies. People love ceremonies when Maharaj teaches nonviolent communication. Right? One of the needs is celebration, isn't it? Celebration in mourning. So you have some marker of something. I mean, sometimes when I just finished a certain draft of a paper, I'll announce it on Facebook so I can celebrate. Finished the first draft! Yay! And celebrations have always brought people together. Also, psychologically, what happens is that we tend to want to repeat things that bring us some sort of emotional, some sort of positive emotions. So different communities have celebrations to help you feel more nationalistic, or more connected with your family, or more connected with your religion. But there's an innate need of us to celebrate. In fact, we have the word here, utsaha, right? Which means enthusiasm and also celebration. How many times is it in the verse? Somebody wants to look it up. About festival. It's at least twice.
Where?
In today's verse. Was it Maha Utsava?
Utsavai.
Yes. And the word for word, there was something at least twice about festivals. So these big ceremonies is there because, like it's explained when Lord Varaha went back to Vaikuntha, said he went to the place where every day is a festival. Now, of course, if we think like that, we may just go, oh my God, every day is a festival? Poor family in the Shakti will say, I quit, every day's got to be a festival. You know, I don't think I could manage that. But, of course, in the spiritual world, every day is a festival. Without worrying about, you know, oh my God, the refrigerator just broke down and everything's going to spoil and we're not going to be able to cook it and the cook didn't show up and all that kind of thing. But this is a natural part of the soul, is to have every day a festival. Right? And when this happens, when people are grateful, when they offer their food, and when there's periodic ceremonies of gratitude, then the earth becomes constantly glorious. So both Jiva Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, in commenting on this verse, talk about how what's mentioned in this verse, that the earth becomes glorious, that the earth is the Lord Shakti. She's his wife. Right? Bhudevi. She's his wife. And she becomes very, very happy. And just like any woman becomes happy when her husband is glorified. Isn't it a fact? Right? So if the husband is doing some wonderful things, and he's getting an award, and he's getting glorified, then the wife is very, yes, my husband is glorified. So Bhumi Devi feels very happy when her Lord is acknowledged as being the source of all the grains that she's producing. Right? She becomes resplendent, and therefore she provides everyone with prosperity, because all the six aspects of prosperity are all expansions of the goddess of fortune. The goddess of fortune is called Sri. And one of the six opulences is also Sri, but she's giving all these opulences. And the Lord has many, many goddesses of fortune, Lakshmi, Sahasrara, Sahasrara, Brahmasaya, Vimana, but particularly three, Lakshmi, Bhu, and Nila, or sometimes Lila. So this is Bhudevi, the Lord's consort, and she becomes very happy. So a God-conscious society where there's this reciprocation, where we're grateful to the Lord and the Lord is grateful to us, and Bhumi Devi is grateful to us, and there's all this love and gratitude going on, then there's all this prosperity also. People are sane and stable. Wouldn't that be nice if everybody was sane and stable? My God. You know? People are sane and stable and prosperous and happy. And then, of course, Prabhupada talks about in this purport, Govardhan Hill. So I thought I would use that as an excuse to talk a little bit about Govardhan. Is that all right, everybody?
Yeah.
So, first I'd like to sing something from Jayadeva Goswami, and then we'll sing something from Raghunatha Goswami. Abhinava chala dasundarai, drita mandarai, drita mandara, shrimukha chandra chakora, jaya jaya devare. Jaya Jaya Devare. Like like a new cloud full of water, you are beautiful. Holding over Dun Hill, holding over Dun, to her moon face you're a Chakora. All glories to Lord Hari, all glories to Lord Hari. And then this is from Raghunath Das Goswami. Krishna prasadena samasta shaila samraj namapna pita vairanopi sakrasya yapra pabalim sa saksha govardhanomi disitam abhistam. By Krishna's mercy among all the mountains, he attained kingship and received from his foe. Indra directly a respectful tribute, O Govardhanya, may you grant my request. Swapraista hastam bhujaso kumarya sukhanu bhutir ativume vritte mahendra vaja hatimapyajanam govardhanome disitam abhistam. Beloved's lotus hand with delicate touch gives deepest happiness holding above earth. So Indra's thunderbolt striking he won't feel, O Govardhanya, may you grant my request. Snadvasaraswastu samira hasti atraiva nipadi paragda duli alolayan kevati charu chashri govardhanome disitam abhistam. An elephant of a breeze bays in a lake, there carries flower pollen like kadambas. In beautiful and very playful movement, Sri Govardhanya, may you grant my request. Kasturi kabi saitam kimatre yuham prabhoswasturmohurvi tanban naisargika srivasila sugandhar govardhanome disitam abhistam. Musk deer relaxing there do spread their fragrance, or it's the Lord's sweet transformation again, or the aroma natural to the stones, O Govardhanya, may you grant my request. Vamsa pradhidvan anusara vartma did rikshavo yatra harim harinya yancho lavante nahi vishmitasa govardhanome disitam abhistam. The flute is echoing, they follow its path, so eager to see Lord Hari the deer are going, yet they attain him not, and they smile. O Govardhanya, may you grant my request. Vina bhavekim haridasya varya parashrayam bhaktiratashrayami yameva saprina nijeshayo shri govardhanome disitam abhistam. Love cannot be without Hari's best servant. Bhakti's at his feet, therefore I take shelter of him who's full of love for my two masters. Sri Govardhanya, may you grant my request. So what a wonderful Krishna conscious society we have, that we are always aware of the Lord in the material world as the sun, as the plants, as the food, that we are always every day offering prasadam, that we have so many ceremonies, and that we are always every day worshiping God. So thank you very much. Questions, comments? Yes, Maharaj.
I find you Hare Krishnas are so much like anti-scientists, and I see that science has actually improved. Like, in fact, right now, you know, you talk about natural food and everything like that. Well, the scientists, right now, my scientists.
Your scientists.
We're able to take these stem cells and create, without the need to pasture animals or anything like that, stem cells and create artificial food. And it has the same exact nutrition. Also, we have fertilizers, the Green Revolution. We're feeding the whole world.
If you really want to know about the Green Revolution and artificial fertilizers, I suggest you read the book, The Alchemy of Air. It's a very good book.
No, but we're
book.
Creating food. We don't need fertilizer.
You'll see by reading that book what is the meaning of artificial fertilizers. As far as the artificial food they create, we are very happy to glorify the brains of the scientists in creating artificial food. But we'd like to glorify more than that the brain of the person who created the brain of the scientist. And we have not seen, as Prabhupada said in the story of Jambavan fighting with Krishna, and we have not seen any artificial food that gives the strength and health and nutrition of the original thing. They can't compete with the original. You know, you can make... I was buying a gift from one of my granddaughters the other day, and we had a great time in Australia, so I wanted to get her some opals. and there's man-made opals, you know, but they can't compete with the natural stuff. So, you know, if you really check out the difference in nutrition and health, it's not that we're against science. The scientists and philosophers should study the original scientist, and they should use their science in his glorification. We're not opposed to science. We would like sane and stable scientists who recognize their limitations.
But God has created his body that gets old, that science is working on making sure the body doesn't get old.
Scientists are making sure the body doesn't get old. Trust no future, however pleasant. Shiva Prabhupada Ki Jai.